Good morning and welcome to The Journey. This is The Journey 3, Finding Stability in God's Unchangeability. God is our anchor. He is our rock. And certainly just concentrating on the truth about Him is such a blessing for our lives. And today we want to look at furnishing God. Furnishing God. To furnish is to be a source of or to provide. My parents, when my wife and I got married, kindly furnished bedroom furniture for us. We were poor college students. They provided for that. I think they might have provided a table for us as well. And generally, that's what we think of as furnishing. But the word itself just means to provide. And God is the God who provides. He is the furnishing God. And I want to share a story about that. It's a story from the Old Testament. It has in there the name Jehovah Jireh, which is God will provide. It's a story of Abraham and Isaac. And from the beginning of time, a blood sacrifice has been what is acceptable to God. That blood sacrifice might be a lamb, a goat, a bird, a bull, but it always had to be a blood sacrifice because the picture of it was the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the blood sacrifice who would ultimately die for our sins. And so that's a part of the story about Abraham and Isaac, and yet the sacrifice was far more personal than just an animal. As you'll see, God asked Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And it was a picture. It was a picture of God the Father offering his son Jesus as our sacrifice. And the story is found in Genesis chapter 22, verse 6. It says, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And they're walking up a hill called Mount Moriah. And there Isaac is with his dad. He's a teenager. You could tell that in the story because he carries the wood, not knowing that it's for him to be sacrificed upon. And Isaac said unto Abraham, his father, he said, "My father," he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Isaac was an ignorant. He knew that there had to be a sacrificial animal that they would take and they would offer to God. And he's looking around and he says, I don't see it. And Abraham says to him in verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You know, as Abraham said those words, I can imagine as a dad, the catch that was in his voice as he realized, you know, God had asked him to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And the confidence in his heart that you see in the verse as he says, God is going to provide a sacrifice. God, my God will supply. And so verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And you got to stop there and think about that picture. The son, Isaac, again, was a teenager. He had to allow himself in obedience to his father to be bound. And he's placed by his father upon that altar of wood. It's a definite picture in the Word of God of what God the Father did as he took his son, Jesus, and he bound him to that old rugged cross as a sacrifice for our sins. And the Bible says that Abraham stretched forth his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. And it's got to be one of the longest minutes in the life of Abraham. Everything is passing before him. He knows that he's doing this in obedience to God because God audibly spoke to Abraham and commanded Abraham to do this. He's following God in complete obedience. And yet this son was precious. They had prayed for a child for years, 25 years to be exact. God had promised that Abraham would be the father of a mighty nation. But he was childless. Sarah couldn't bear children. Finally, the son of promise had come. It was Isaac. Abraham knew that. And now God is asking him to take that precious son and to offer him as a sacrifice. The Bible says in verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And I want to stop us in the story right here and say God never intended for a man to sacrifice his son. You might read the story in the Bible and say, what's this about? How could God call for a human sacrifice? Well, God didn't call for a human sacrifice because God knew that ultimately he was going to stop Abraham. What he did is he drew back a veil and demonstrated to us the faith of the great father of the faith, Abraham. That Abraham was so confident in God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that Abraham believed that God was either going to, if he died, Isaac died, that God was going to bring him back to life. And so we see this strong faith of Abraham, and yet this great need, God has to provide. And then we see God providing. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and he offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now, stop again and put yourself in the story. Abraham's about ready to plunge the knife into his son in obedience to God. Can you just imagine his incredible thankfulness as God provides a substitute for his son? You know, I rejoice today to say to us this, the punishment for our sin is death. It's eternity in a lake of fire. But God in his love provided a sacrifice, an atoning work of his, a perfect holy son, the perfect Lamb of God that would die on the cross for our sins so that we could receive Jesus Christ as our sacrifice because God accepted him. And not ourselves be justly punished for our sins. The Bible says in verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And Jehovah Jireh means God will provide because God is the furnishing God. God furnishes everything we need spiritually and physically. And I just want to look at those two points and consider them with you. Tomorrow is Good Friday. It's a great time of the year to be reflecting on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what God did to provide for us. And when God sacrificed his son, God furnished the table for us to eat spiritually. The Bible says about Jesus, he is the bread of life. It says that he is the water of life. The Bible speaks about the banquet table that God has set where he sends out his servants and says, call people to come to the wedding feast. Everything's prepared. It's all here. And what that is a demonstration that everything that you and I need spiritually, salvation, sanctification, that means being saved from the wrath of God, being forgiven of our sins, and being kept pure, being kept clean, having God forgive us, having God minister grace to us. Everything is there for us spiritually in Christ. And I had a gal yesterday say to me, how do you know that God is real? And I said it's like this, you know, you've got to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, has there been a time in your life where you've taken of Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life where you've known the sweetness of God's provision at Calvary? That is the spiritual work that God has done for us. He is Jehovah Jireh. He has supplied the greatest need of mankind, and that is the opportunity for us to have our sin atoned and us to be forgiven by the grace of God. So God has furnished everything that we need spiritually. I know that personally because I have personally tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Secondly, God furnishes everything we need physically. Jesus taught this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, when you pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. And it's that day-to-day dependence upon God as a believer that says, you know, God is going to meet my needs today as he met my needs yesterday because he is the God who provides. Matthew 7, verse 11 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? It's a very precious thing. We've talked about already the aspects of prayer on the journey, but God is a God that's listening. And God is ready to supply. He is the God that furnishes for us physically. When I was in college, I read a book. It's called Spiritual Secrets. And in the comments section of this video, I'm going to put a link to this book. It really challenged me. It was a man, Hudson Taylor. The title, Spiritual Secrets. He went as a missionary to China, but he was a man that decided, I am going to trust God to meet my needs. I'm not going to go to other people and have them meet my needs. I'm going to go to God and God alone. And the Spirit of God spoke to me through that book, and it began a journey in my own life of just saying, you know, am I going to trust God to meet my needs? And you know, the neat thing, again, is that I've had many times to taste and see that the Lord is good in his ability to furnish things physically. As a college student, I went to do my internship out in Tucson, Arizona, and there, as I'm training to be a pastor, I was working with a man called Dr. Ed Nelson. I remember praying and asking God, "God, I need a library. I'm going into the ministry. I need some books." Very specifically, at an Adobe house I was staying at, I was out standing on the Adobe wall, looking out at the city of Tucson. I just prayed to God, say, "God, I need some library books, and God, I commit to give part of my love offering to you to buy some books. Would you please furnish me with a library?" The next day, I was sitting with Dr. Ed Nelson. We're talking, and he said, "By the way, do you have a library?" I said, "No, I really don't have a library." He said, "Well, a minister passed away, and we've got some of his books here." And he went and he got me the earnest of my inheritance. He gave me about 30 books. That summer, my future father-in-law gave me 500 books. And God began again to just prove to me that He's a God that has the ability to meet my needs. I was also praying that my girlfriend and I could get engaged, that we could get married earlier than we thought possible. But for that to be accomplished, I needed a ring. And I wasn't wealthy. I didn't have much money, and I was just praying about it. And there was a ring that came up in the paper, and I went to visit the guy who was on a military base there in Tucson. I saw the ring. I have no idea why he didn't need the ring anymore, but a very nice ring. And so I said to him, I said, "They're taking a love offering for me this Sunday, and I'll call you on Monday, and I'll let you know what I can do." And so I called him on Monday. I'd promised the Lord so much of that money for books, and I said, "I can only do this much." It was $200, less than a really good price he was asking. And I said, "If you'll do that," I said, "I'll meet you at Helzberg's, a jeweler. We'll have it appraised. And if it appraises for what you said, I'll go ahead and I'll buy it." God provided. I bought that ring for a third of what it was valued at. And it was the right size. I didn't know this, but it was the right size for my fiance as well. You know, as Katie and I got married, we got permission to get married a year early. And as I was leaving Tucson, I had somebody leave $5,000 for me on my school bill. Well, I didn't have a school bill. And I wrote them. I said, "Can I use this for my future wife?" And they said, "That's fine." I took that money. I put it on a CD back then at 5% interest. So I had $5,250. When Katie and I got married, we got gifts for our wedding of $1,750 or something like that. So we had about $7,000 going into a year of marriage, and I was getting $70 every 2 weeks plus my tuition and my food and things there at the university as a GA, graduate assistant. She was a full-time student as a senior in college. And we lived on a farmhouse that God provided. It was only $325 a month, and if I mowed the garden, I got $50 off. And so I tell people we had the shortest grass in Greer because that was one of the ways God provided for us. But it was a very tight year. We were determined two ways. We're going to trust God to meet our needs, and we're not going to go into debt, and we're going to tithe. We're going to give God first place in our finances. Well, we got into that year, and it didn't look like we're going to make it. We went into the office there at Bob Jones University where we are students. Went up to the man and we wanted to get a loan, but the actual man we needed to speak with wasn't there. And we walked out and I said to Katie, I said, "We're just not trusting God. God is going to meet our needs." Well, we went through that year, and right at the end of our year there, a church that we're working at gave us another love gift of about $1,700. I was going to be an assistant pastor in New York City. We loaded up our stuff, went to New York City. On the way there, the car broke down. We had a $650 payment on the car. It was 3 weeks before we got paid. When we got paid, I had $50 left, but I needed $75 to get a driver's license, because without the driver's license, I couldn't open a bank account. And I needed to open a bank account because I had my first paycheck to deposit in there. And so it's the only time in our married life that I had to ask my dad to wire us money. But Dad wired me money, not because I didn't have any, but because I couldn't work out that sequence of getting things sorted. You know, God has provided for my wife and I again and again and again. And I know that's just the way it's going to be for life, because God is the God who furnishes everything that we need physically as well as spiritually. You know, Philippians 4:19 says that, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You know, today, if you've got a spiritual need, God has an abundant resource. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's a sin issue, if it's a forgiveness issue, if it's a mercy issue, a grace issue, if you'll repent of your sin and you'll trust Jesus Christ and you'll just sell out for God and say, "God, I just want to see you meet my needs. God is absolutely today able to meet that need because he is Jehovah Jireh. Are you seeing God meet your physical needs? You know, as a believer, are you testing God, saying, God, I'm going to honor you in tithes and offerings, and I'm just going to wait on you. God, will you please supply? Will you please provide? And have the joy of seeing that, because God is the God that provides. He is the furnishing God. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that the Spirit of God would touch the hearts of these dear people, Lord, that you love. And I thank you, Savior, that you provided everything that we need. And Father, I pray for the heart of that person that just feels like they've got a need that's too great for God to meet. Father, I pray that they'd say, you know what, God is able to meet my needs spiritually. And Father, that they just come and ask Jesus Christ by faith to come into their heart and forgive them of their sin. Father, that they receive the gift of everlasting life because Jesus died for their sin and he rose again from the dead. And Father, I pray for believers that maybe are struggling and it's tough. I just pray, God, remind them that you're able to meet their needs. And I just pray, Lord, that they get to see the God who furnishes for them. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If these have been a blessing to you, let me encourage you. Would you subscribe to our YouTube channel or like our Facebook page? Please share these videos as well. Help get the word of God out because God is good. He's the God that furnishes.